Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Jay Harwood's latest edition of Amazing Conversations with my old friend, Al Ois. Could you run through your brothers again for me?
How about this, Jay? I'm one of seven. I'm the youngest. Right. We've got five older brothers. My mom and dad named the boys John, Carl, Eric, Kurt, and Mark. Guess what they named me there, buddy?
Al Ois.
So here you are. We're in third grade, and you got the third grade teacher saying, okay, Susie, Billy, Tommy, Jay. And then they look at it and they go, Alice? And then here's little Alice in the back putting his arm up, going home crying. I'm still affected all these years later, Jay.
So your career, three World Series championships, two All-Stars, a no-hitter, and the lifelong Met fan. What was it like when Steve Cohen, our own, called you the other day and said, Al, you're in the Hall of Fame?
Wow. So amazing. I think as a little boy, if you dream of being a Major League Baseball player, you do all the things to work to become a major leaguer, and that's cool, right? You get drafted or however you go about, and you get to the major leagues, you make your debut, and you try to build a career. And the only way I can relate to it to the level that it really takes it to another special moment, if you will. And certainly this summer is going to be when the ceremony, when Steve called, so much went through my mind. Yes, I had 19 seasons as a major leaguer, but Jay, as you know, and I spent a lot of time with you, the 7 years that I spent with the Mets, when I got that call from Steve Phillips after the Marlins traded me to the Mets, it was at such the right time in my baseball life after injuries and setbacks and sideways and ups and downs. And living out the opportunity to play for the team that you rooted for as a kid. I can't say that enough. One thing, if you check a box as a major leaguer, you get to the big leagues and you try to establish a career and do some cool stuff. Check, check. World Series, no-hitter, all-star. But then you get a chance to play for the team you rooted for. And it's next level stuff. I'll be honest. You know how you saw me when I was there. And every time that the Mets had Mets moments, bringing back guys from previous clubs or the old World Series teams, or seeing guys from the 70s and the 60s. And, you know, I was a little kid. I really was. I was always eager to get out to the dugout and watch the ceremony of whatever was going on at the time when I was there from, 98 through 04. It was amazing that Steve called, not aware, and then for him to say what he said and to go in with the guys that I'm going in with, certainly Hojo,
Howard Johnson, Gary Cohn, Howie Rose, 4-10, June 3rd against the Blue Jays.
How about that against the Blue Jays, huh? You think they did that? Did you do that for me, Jay?
We did. I rocked it out.
And by the way, I looked at it right before the Blue Jays came in. So after I signed with the Yankees, I got traded to the Blue Jays, spent 7 years there, experienced some World Series, really cool stuff, finally got my career going. And then I signed with the Marlins. Well, guess who's coming in at Citi Field right before the Blue Jays come in?
The Marlins.
No, the Phillies. And why that's important or significant, Dave Dombrowski called me the day before I got traded to the New York Mets. He was the general manager of the Marlins, as you know. And he was getting rid of everybody. Wayne Huizenga, you know, we win the World Series and he dismantled the team literally that winter. And I get a call from Dave. Did I ever share this with you?
No.
Okay. Dave calls me and he says, look, I'm not promising you anything. Obviously, you know what's going on. And it's like a week or so before going to spring training. Because if you remember, I saw you at Shea Stadium and we took pictures and some promo stuff at the stadium before I went down to Port St. Lucie.
Right.
Dave Dombrowski says, look, I'm not promising you anything, Al, but I have two comparable prospect offers that I'm considering. And I'm asking you, do you have a preference? One is the St. Louis Cardinals and the other is the New York Mets. And I was like, Dave, are you kidding?
The Cardinals.
I grew up a Mets fan. wow, this, you know, it's, so it was that kind of conversation. He goes, all right, I hear you. It wasn't the next day, Jay, I get a call, I get to find out I got traded. And then Steve Phillips, then general manager, called me. And wow, it was, so here, now Dave Dombrowski, years later, Philadelphia GM, president of baseball ops would be there.
You were the old timers, your game is history. What kind of a big thrill was that for you? You know, first time we did it, 28 years, 60 guys. You know, one of your former coaches, Don Stern, was there. Fortunately, passed away after that. But remember, what was that day like for you?
I seem to be saying the, you know, a broken record here, but when getting around players that that I rooted for and I looked up to as a kid, and then getting a chance to rub elbows, mingle, and shoot the breeze, and talk about the old times, it puts your mind at a place that takes you to where when the game and the affinity for the game was so innocent of rooting for your team and the logos, colors, and mark, you know, the colors of your team and the logos and marks. So, I don't know. Just seeing the guys, I know, you know, with Stearns, that was awfully sad losing him, but I was glad he had that moment that he got that opportunity. Right. How about that? Stearnsy, you know, what a tough man, right? He got the batters. He got bad dude. He was in the batter's box hitting.
Yeah, it was a great memory.
Amazing, yeah.
You were 4 or 5 when in 69. I mean, what was the first team you really rooted for?
I don't remember it, but my dad brought me and my brothers to opening day in 70 when they raised the flag. I was 5. I'll be honest, I don't remember. I do remember the 73 LCS. I remember upper deck, right field. Shea Stadium, you know, when the Mets beat the Reds to go on to play the A's, that I remember. That was a clear. I can see the stadium. You know, we were upper deck, right field, and it was a day game. I don't know if it was the game that Pete Rose, fought Buddy. But what a series that was, right? Took it to game 5 when they had 5 games back.
Matlack had a strong
out. Oh, Matlack was terrific through the whole time, right? I mean, up until he was, you know, you look at those box scores and I think about the game today, and I know it's not fair because we can't, but you know, every single one of those games, even in that series, Tom Seaver, and you'll help me on this because I know you, he pitched a great game, and I think it was 8th or 9th inning, gave up a solo homer to Pete Rose, and then I think Johnny Bench.
Right.
You know, it's 9th inning stuff. So, and then the game, I guess it went to game 7 in the A's World Series, right?
We were 3-2 winning going out to Oakland, and we lost the last 2 games.
Seaver's game was a heartbreaker because I think it was against Catfish, and it was a low-scoring game. We lost that one. And then Matlack just, you know, it was a rough one, right? You know, so then you look at it, Tug McGraw being the closer, he had games in that postseason where he was throwing 4 or 5 innings.
Speaking of innings, one game, like you were the only guy at the writers that you were honored with, Louis Soho. So the only guy for being honored to write for losing a game. It was game 5 of the World Series, 2 runs in the 9th inning. Louis Soho hit Hopper, still probably going through the infield right now, and they honored you for being the losing pitcher, and then writers did it. Which is 160 pitches that day? 160 pitches that game?
143. And to this day, every time I see Bobby Valentine, I thank him for it, and I appreciate the opportunity. I knew it was my last game of 2000. And I guess really what people, you know, today they would never have done that, right? There's, you know, so many different levers and matchups and all that. But if you remember the game, I gave up 2 solo home runs. One to Derek Jeter, one to Bernie Williams. Bernie Williams was having a rough series. He ran into a cutter. I threw Jeter back-to-back changeups. I didn't throw changeups. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. But to have a 2-2 game going into the 9th, but if you remember, the 8th inning, I forget exactly who they were, but I think it was like O'Neill, Bernie, and Tino Martinez struck out the side in the 8th. And I came in down toward the first base side, not the home plate side. And Bobby asked Dave Wallace to, you know, go see how he's doing, see how he feels. And when Wally came over, I was very demonstrative and I was very loud about, you know, what do you think? I feel great. Leave me alone. You don't want this. So it was loud enough so that Bobby heard it, right? Rest is history. You know, yeah, bummer. Louis Soho, 15 hopper up the middle. I still think, Jay, we win game one. We win that series.
Yeah, you pitch great in that series. You pitch game one, lose an extra inning, pitch great in five. We don't win. I mean, we lose four games by five runs.
I know. Every game. Even the game in game two with the broken bat, back to Mike, Roger. You know, we got behind, but late in the game, Jay Payton, I think, hit a home run.
Against
Mariano Rivera and became a one-run game. So that, right. You know, every single one of those games were, I know we lost, I get it, but I still believe that game won. Steinbrenner was full in old rage of, you know, we got to win. That would have been, you know, yeah. Just ask those Yankee guys. Start with Joe Torre. They had to win that game.
So a lot of families, they have, you know, auto mechanics is a business, selling coats, food. The lighter family business is pitching. So you and your brother Mark in Major Leagues, Mark's son Mark, and God willing, your son Jack, not too distant future, will be the Major League. The first family to have four pitchers pitching the Major Leagues.
Wow, is that right?
I didn't make that up, Al. No, Bob would have been alive or something with that. But yeah,
wow.
When Jack gets to the majors, it'll be the first time to have four members of the same family pitching the same
Wow. All right. I'm not going to tell Jack that. I'll put a little extra pressure on him.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
How was it with, you know, being a dad? I know you went to a lot of the games and, you know, in college games at Vanderbilt. Was it hard sitting in the stands?
I would say, well, it was hard this summer, I'll be honest, because he was finally legitimately challenged and had a very up and down season, learned what pro ball is all about, starting out, you know, he didn't play after his Vanderbilt season. And then they put him right to double A, which is, you know, now in hindsight, it was pretty aggressive. You know what I do? I keep score, Jay, and it's not some sort of like lunatic dad who's like, you know, super anal. It was my way of actually relaxing, and not just watching and playing along. I would chart, you know, like kind of the pitches and keep score. And I was doing that when he was a little guy because it was a way to circle back to a game and have conversation. That's really was the impetus behind it when he was like kind of the youth travel ball stuff, you know, probably
right.
Sophomore, junior, high school. So that kind of kept me busy. He you know, at Vanderbilt, it was great. Like, you know, he really did well. And the year he got drafted, it was fun to watch, honestly. And then high school, you know, most guys that get to that level, they all do well in high school, you know? So I would say this past summer was you're nervous for me.
Can I bring up one high school game? My research. And when you're in high school, you struck out 32 of the 39 guys you faced in a 13-inning game. How do you do that?
You know,
32 strikeouts in one game.
Yeah. And the guy I faced, so it was a Central Regional High School down the Jersey Shore. I faced Wall Township, which always had a strong sports program, especially football. And the guy I pitched against actually was drafted, I think, by Oakland. His name is John Spinapont. All-state football player, really good pitcher. Might have been all-state. I don't know about pitching, but we struck out 50 guys combined. He had 18, I had 32. I'll be honest, Jay. You know, high school, right? You strike out a lot of guys.
32 is a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah. I'll tell you that. But that is a record 100%. You know they say records are meant to be broken? Yeah. That will never be broken because nobody will ever be allowed to throw 200 pitches again.
No.
I easily
I have another record you're probably not aware of about. My research, you drank the most cups of coffee 1 year than any Mets pitcher in history. 1,093 cups in 1999.
Does that count shots? Did I ever tell you about Johnny? I forget where we were, but... you know, I always got this like quad venti vanilla latte, and then I started getting like 5 shots in it. And one day, Johnny's like, "Yeah, give me one of those. Give me one of those." So we're going to getting on the bus. You know, go. It was on the road, and you got to ask Johnny about it. It's funny. He drank this thing, and I think I had him those 6 shots on this thing. It was like a vanilla venti thing, iced. He said he was sitting in the dugout or in the bullpen the whole game, like this, shaking, with like his heart beating. He was sweating.
One of my favorite outlier games, of course, in Cincinnati, the playing game. We don't know where we're playing. We're in the Diamond Club. We go to Cincinnati, 5-0, 2-0 shutout, complete game.
You know, there's moments in a player's life, career, baseball life for this. And you know, you always, hey, what was your best game? Hey, what was your best moment? You know, I was lucky enough to have a bunch of cool moments, based on you know, some of the stuff that I was, you know, able to do. But I would say the significance of that game. Now I have to also include, because it would be unfair. Game 7 start, Marlins against the Cleveland Indians, and we won in extra innings with Edgar Renteria base hit up the middle. Craig Counsell scores, and we're world champs. That you need to nail, right? And that was a really well pitched game. But when you're in a win or lose, go home, right? And I knew what the history of the Mets in the playoffs and how long it's been and all that.
11 years.
Yeah, it's 11 years. So, as you just said, we're sitting at the Diamond Club at Shea Stadium. We're either flying on to Arizona or we got to go to Cincinnati and play 163rd game against Cincinnati. And to nail it the way I did and to get the lead that I had early on, right, 2-0 early with Alfonso, right, Tomer?
And Ricky Henderson hit a home run twice, didn't he?
And Ricky hit a homer. So those that it felt like even 2 runs felt like it was 5. So forget it. 5 felt like it was 10. And then for Bobby to let me stay in the whole time, and to throw it, a 2-hit shutout.
Mike went out in the 8th inning, and you didn't know you had a 1-hitter in the 8th inning. And you looked at the score. I forget. I probably screwed up the story. You weren't aware of what you were doing.
Yeah, so actually, double down the left field line, Pokey Reese. I'm getting the ball back from Ray Ordonez. And on the big scoreboard at Riverfront, I don't know what they called it back then. Was it still Riverfront?
I think I've changed the name all the time.
Maybe Synergy or something. And I remember catching the ball back from Ray Ordonez, and I see the 1 for Cincinnati go to 2. And I'm telling you, Jay, it sounds like bullshit. I didn't realize I knew it was a well-pitched game, and you head down and put your hat down and don't look left, don't look right, and make a pitch and execute and all that. But the 1-2, it was 1 out in the 9th, I think, right? Yeah, because then, whatever. I think he got to third base, and then I struck out Sean Casey and then a liner to Edgardo, to win the game.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I've been with the Mets a long time, as you well know. We've been friends a long time. I got 1 ring, a couple of World Series, but I'm going to put something on my tombstone is being a part of the 2001 team. What we did as a team for the city. I mean, that's the thing. We gave back. We made a difference. That's the thing I always remember from my time with the Mets and what we accomplished. That. You know, we had the reunion. Was it 2 years ago now, when everybody got together And we did it without publicity. We did it without cameras. We made the visits to Ground Zero just to do the right thing. You know, we weren't looking to glorify what we did or whatever. We were just down to do the right thing. You know, and it was a whole group of 25 guys and coaches, Bobby, ownership.
I think it was easy for us to have, first of all, the impact for all of us in our lives that lived and worked and were around the New York City area. Either you knew somebody or worse, if you really had a family member. So it was easy to, for me, it was easy to, yeah, okay, what do you have, Jay? What do you want? Oh, okay. You just knew that by giving back meant something. And what was significant, or what I realized it was important for what we were doing and others, that would maybe have people who were affected by family member loss of family members, was that we can get them away from the sadness and what transpired, right? And when we went down there, Jay, you know, I forget what day it was, but it was still smoldering.
Shortly thereafter, wasn't that long?
Right. And I remember, I don't know how you felt, but we had the helmets on, and it was a rescue. It was still a rescue mission. And then there was on the other side, it was a cleanup. They started having the, and I really felt uncomfortable. You know, here are these ball players and the celebrities that are coming around. And like, I didn't want that. I didn't, you know, we weren't for that. And I know you know that. But when I saw the people who saw us and you saw them like almost like, oh, you know, the men and women that were working to look for their fellow, you know, firefighter. And I realized that we were helping, right? So then that made it even easier when there was anything else that was related to the people who were affected by it as the years transpired after that. You know, and you were at the center of it. You really were.
Yeah, it was great. It was a team effort.
Yeah, no, it was just so easy for us.
Yeah,
as an organization, and then where we were at Shea Stadium, and the parking lot was the where they had all of the supplies, right, and the material, and it was just like, wow.
I neglected to pass on one of your really great awards, Roberto Clemente Award.
And right there, buddy.
The work you did this landing, one of the few.
By the way, I will say this. You talk about prominence. You know, we all kind of got some stuff. I don't really have a dig me room. I just don't do that, but this thing, and this is heavy, Jay. Oh, yeah. This thing right here, there's a reason why, you know, I got some cool stuff, but Roberto Clemente Award is, I know what it means, and you don't do it for awards. You really don't. You do stuff because it's the right thing to do, to give back to people in need, that you can make a difference in other people's lives.
Your charity is really local orientated, right? It was Lighters Landing, a lot of work in your hometown in South Jersey with the high schools and the fields. So really it was a really direct thing what you were trying to do locally, right?
Lighters Landing was created when I was with the Marlins. And I realized how we as players can offer your name to different charity events, right? But as I was making contributions to different causes, I realized that it really just felt like a check. You know, I'm going to write a check for a cause. It's all good. But I wanted more stickiness to it. I wanted more a connection to it. And that was the impetus behind creating Lighters Landing, because now I had the ability, based on the money that I put in, and then also contracts that were supposed to go to me personally, I had clubs make the direct contribution to the foundation and then give away money. Did it with the Marlins, did it with the Mets.
But you did it with the Mets. You got the other guys involved. I still have the poster in my house.
Yeah.
With the nine guys, Bobby Ball. We're still playing cards, by the way. We still have card game. We're rookie. But you know, it's like, you know, it was Alfonso. It was a nice thing.
Right. Yeah. That was a nice, we raised a lot of money with that. It was a watercolor, James Fiorentino. Everybody signed us, some Hall of Famers on there, as you mentioned, Ricky Henderson, Mike, Johnny Franco, sure. Should be in the Hall of Fame.
So can I offer one suggestion for your speech June 3rd? Why don't you try something like this? Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. Nobody's used it before.
All right. And if I don't do that, because you're going to be next to me, you come over and tackle me.
I'll tackle you.
Tackle me.
Listen.
Give me like, look, you got your New York Giants top on there.
No, it's a Mets thing, Al. It's Mets different colors. No, it's not a Giants thing. Listen, you've been a good friend for all these years. And my buddy, my friend.
Really you as well. You
talked louder than anybody on June 3rd.
By the way, they forget about the Hall of Fame for you. They need to build a some sort of little statue for you.
Get my head's too big.
I didn't say put a hat on. I just said a statue.
Don't worry, son. I'm really happy for you. I'm well deserved.
Thanks, Jay.
I can't wait for June 3rd to be here.
Really, it's a tremendous honor. I guess I got to think about some nice words, but dream come true.
Well, I'm glad I was part of your dream, and it's really an honor for me to be your friend.
Thank you. Same to you, Jay.
All right. Thanks, Al. All right.